This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
They have this Panther sound effect that is just the cheesiest, stupidest sounding thing. Big voice guy going, Panther goal scored by Sam Reinhart.
Where'd you get that thing?
I trapped it. Been keeping it in my bathroom at the motel, feeding it old pizza.
It's Mike Shope.
If you're calm, that wondrous big cat will be calm too. But if you're scared, that beautiful death machine will do what God made it to do, namely, eat you with a smile on its face.
And the Bulldog. On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Just realizing the Panthers were here Saturday, I got my fill of Panther sound effects at the Pitt game.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
they have their own. I'm sure it's a different animal.
Are you?
No, I have no idea. It might just be one Panther ever that's auditioned for that role and nailed it. We don't need another Panther. We just use the same one for every Panthers team. But yeah, in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Pitt Panthers. Let's go to Mike here and then Brandon Bean. Hi, Mike.
Happy hump day, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Mike, I heard that the Pink Panther was the first one rejected in the auditions for the sound effects.
The Pink Panther, so just, yes. You know,
yes. Two things. If you could address both, I'd really, really be happy. Number one, I feel like another receiver that's on a similar contract to Cooper is necessary because I feel like two reasons. One, Samuel hasn't been what we thought. Two, they haven't got Kincaid in the way we would all love to see that happen. And in the playoffs, just it's always nice to have an extra guy in case you get injured or hurt. And the second thing I wanted to say was I listened to the postgame show, actually called in on the postgame show with Nate on Monday night's games, and Bills fans sounded like they want to burn down one Bills drive. It was a chippy, hard-fought, defensive battle with a lot of dumb penalties and a few bad kicks. But we came out on top. We were four out of four in the red zone, and they were 1-4 in the red zone, and Douglas made big plays. Taylor Rapp made big plays. So there was a lot of good things come out of the game. Yes, it was ugly, but I mean, just the shock of Bills fans calling in and literally wanting to like.
Yeah, well, you know what that I did not hear the show, but I've done how many of those shows have we done?
300.
I've done 25 years worth of those shows, okay, including a lot of these late nights that Nate is now doing for us, which I really appreciate. By the way. I'm sure it was really about the Hail Mary, right? Like the another end of the game, end of the half situation where McDermott is blamed for doing something that is just sort of odd. Really, he's blamed because they completed what percentage of Hail Marys get completed? I know Aaron Rodgers has this, you know, it's his fourth one or something, and no one has more than two, so he's expert at it or something. It's still, I mean, it's a needle in a haystack play, and they got burned on it. But tactically, he did a weird thing with three of his players sort of in the middle of the field and ended up accomplishing nothing. And so I don't know about the rest of the game or what anyone else would have been hot about, but I know enough to know that I would expect a lot of whatever was aggravating people was simply that. So
is a very, very small subset of fans. To which, of course, I am eternally grateful for them,
right.
By the way. But most people are not thinking about what they hated from Bills wins when they watch them on TV, why people need to be fired, etc. GM Brandon Bean, big day for him yesterday acquiring Amari Cooper. Here's the GM earlier today.
Their move speed up your process on acquiring Cooper?
No, not really, I guess. By the time their move was announced, we had honed in on Amari. Kind of knew. I was monitoring that one, checking around, and I would say by Monday afternoon, felt there was a fairly decent chance that we could do this with Cleveland. They had played their game Sunday, had a conversation with them Sunday evening, and a couple more on Monday, maybe even a couple hours before the game. And so I just ultimately, when you're that close to the game, you're kind of focused on that, like, hey, let us get through, let us see where we are health-wise, and I'll call you tomorrow. So we were not to the finish line. I would say we were really close by the time that was announced. We kind of had moved on. My last conversation was Monday morning, kind of monitoring the Devontae situation. And at that point, kind of moved our chips into trying to acquire Amari.
What kind of traits do you see on the field in Amari that you like and you think will make a fit here?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, he's a well-respected guy for his, you know, what he's done in the league as long as he's been. Part of the pre-draft process when I was in Carolina, I got to spend some time with him, and he's very football smart. He's a quiet. He's probably not going to be a long interview for you guys when you get to talk to him, but he loves ball, and he's very, very smart. Outside perimeter receiver, not that he can't play inside, but very good route runner, smooth. You know, he can stretch the field vertically. I think he was high 4.3s when he came out. You still see that. You know, he's had a, you know, a high average per catch, you know, his career. He had a 200 and something yard game late in the season with Flacco last year. I think four of his last 5 years. He's on the backside of his career, but four of his last five, I think he went for over 1,100 and, slower start this year. But hopefully, you know, it's going to take him some time. You don't just walk in and just plop him in and say, go. He's got to get up to speed. Our calls, our checks, where he's, you know, alignments for each play. So it'll take a little time. I think we need to be fair to him from that standpoint.
He played mostly X with Cleveland.
Yeah.
Given, which made obviously sense, given everything they had. Do you see him flanker? As you've got Keon playing mostly X. Do you see him being able to play flanker just as well as?
Yeah, I think Joe and the staff will figure that out. Adam Henry coached him in Dallas, so I was able to ask Adam a few things about him when we were in New York, you know, after the Jets game, just to kind of get, you know, make sure everything was adding up from the guy that I knew coming out of college. But yeah, I mean, I'm not going to pin him into one spot. I think he can play either one. He's football smart. And, you know, we move our guys around. You know, I know Shakir plays mostly inside, but he's smart and can play outside. And Curtis Samuel, all those guys. So it's really just add this to Joe's pieces and let him and Josh and the coaches figure that out.
Urgency with this move, because you said a couple of weeks ago going into the season you like this group. You make this move to bring in a guy, like you mentioned, his credentials, a real number one receiver. What was the urgency level after what you saw from his offense in the first six games?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm always looking. I mean, it doesn't mean I didn't like the group. You know, I can't make a team like Cleveland do the deal. So, if we didn't do this deal for him, I still like our group. It's not anything there. But anytime you can add a player, just like we added Rasul last year, you know, I'm always going to monitor that. You guys know me. I've been here long enough. And like I said, if for some reason there's another player that comes along between now and the deadline that makes sense for us, good fit, it's got to fit within the cap. You know, you may hear a pool of players, as we know, are available, but can we fit them, you know, separate of the draft pick? Can we fit them within our cap constraints? You know, whether that team's already, you know, renegotiated their deal like Amari's was, or they're willing to eat cash. So even though there's a pool this big of players that may be available, ours is probably, you know, considerably less. That's why this move made so much sense for us with where his salary is and where our salary cap is. But, separate of Amari, I really do like our guys in the mix. It's early in the season. you know, just like an O-line, you're still forming things. We had so many new pieces in that receiver room other than Shakir. So in fairness to those guys, we're still early in the season, just getting going.
Was there, in the same vein, though, was there a, to what degree, I'm sorry if I'm repeating Matt's question, to what degree do you think the everyone eats motto may not have been working or working as quickly as you maybe wanted it to for this team?
No, I wouldn't say it's not working. Every game kind of takes on its own identity. You know, we, you know, the first few weeks, I don't think anybody was saying that that wasn't working. I think we were doing well. We, you know, we got punched in the mouth in Baltimore early in that game. I think we got down 21-3. We love it if we're up 21-3. Our defensive ends and pass rushers are pinning their ears back. When you tell the other team you're going to pass every time in this league, good luck. You know, you might can do it at some college levels, you know, when you're playing, you know, whoever, a good team versus a not-so-good team. But the NFL, if you get down like that, you're asking for the other team to pin their pass rushers back. We got to be balanced. You know, that's the best way to play in this league. And so, again, when you get down, and we got down 20-3 against Houston. So, you know, the other night, I thought we did some good things. Obviously, we ran the ball well, but there's not a – this wasn't a, hey, the everybody eats motto that was going around, or mantra, that we needed to throw that out. This is back to what Matt's question was really just an opportunity to add a guy that adds an experienced, proven skill set to the group, and, you know, how quickly can we get him fit in? And I know he's going to work hard. And again, Coach Henry's coached him before. I think that helps the whole process. And, you know, we'll see where that goes.
From experience, what is it like for a receiver? Maybe even if you want to compare to other positions, for a receiver to get onboarded into an offense during the season?
Great question. Probably one of the harder ones. Yeah, probably one of the harder ones, unless they've played in that exact system before, that could make it, you know, when.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Isaiah Hodgins left here a few years ago from the practice squad to the Giants. Exact system, probably easier for Daboll and those guys to plug him in than a guy who's not. Now, there's things you can do, tagging plays. There's various ways, and I do think Adam Henry, having coached him, knowing maybe he can say this is what we called it in Dallas or things like that, just to kind of help speed that up. But probably easier to come in and play, you know, an offensive line position other than you got to figure out the protection calls than the depth of the playbook at receiver.
Like to target guys with a future piece to it.
Yeah,
he's a free agent. So what made this situation a little bit difficult?
Yeah, well, as I was saying a minute ago, Joe, our pool's probably not as big where our cap is to be able to just to say we can go get, if there's, you know, in this case, five, if there's five receivers that are going to be on the market, that we can make them all work within our deal. But it also doesn't mean there's no rule that we can't sign him back as well. So we'll just, you know, play it out this year, see how it fits on both sides. And there's also the potential to get a comp pick off of it as well. So if we choose not to, or he wants to go sign somewhere else at the end, we could potentially play the comp game with him and get some of that back in the future draft. So that's another way to look at it. He's not going to be a cap casualty, you know, which someone else could have been.
How much did finding answers potentially for man coverage play into this decision to make this move?
Yeah, I mean, you want answers for everything. Guys that can play zone, man, everything. He's a proven player that can play against both. And again, just really adding another piece to, the group, and that includes our tight ends, our backs, all those. Just another guy that Joe can, again, once we got to get him up to speed, can hopefully help us, the second half of the season.
Brandon, are drops a concern at all?
He had some drop passes.
Yeah, I mean, those are frowned upon. You want them, it's called receiver. You want them all to receive them, but that happens. Everybody's got their strengths and weaknesses at the position. And I would say over his career, though, the positives have far outweighed. But if you were going to pick on one thing with him, maybe he has, had a few more drops, which, again, he didn't really have many of that in college. But, there have been some drops on tape in his career. But hopefully that won't happen here.
But he doesn't say much, or he hasn't said much in your conversations. But how do you sense the level of excitement going from the situation he was in, just in terms of the season outlook, to now first in the division, chance to maybe compete for a Super Bowl?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't visited long with him. He drove over here last night, and he sat down in my office for a few minutes, and we talked about when we went to dinner, when he was at BAM and stuff like that, and just his family situation. Again, he's a very reserved, you guys will get that. I think that's a good question for him on, we didn't really talk much about Cleveland. We more just talked about here and who he knew here and Coach Henry and that, a little bit of his family. So it was a 20-minute conversation, but I'm sure when Derek gives you guys access to him, he'll be glad to answer that. It might not be a long answer, though.
Brandon, when did you...
You can go.
When did you start the process of searching for maybe a wide receiver, whether that be Amari? I believe you mentioned you at least had discussions about Devontae. Just when did those conversations in total, not specific players, begin?
Yeah, I mean, again, there's been other guys at the same position and other positions that we've had conversations with. They generally happen at different times for different teams or that player. There's guys 3 weeks into the season that maybe it's a player that signed somewhere, got beat out, or got drafted over, and the agents talk to the club and they're like, all right, we're willing to move him. We feel confident there. So I spoke to a club yesterday that told me three players on their team would be available if we had an interest between now and the next month, whether it's injury or whatever. So we're constantly having those. We didn't have a meeting and say, hey, it's September the 29th. We need receiver help. It's, these conversations kind of come and go, and they all kind of have in their own little silo, I would say.
On that note, if you go back, Brandon, to when you traded Stephon, and then you go through free agency and you draft Keon, if you could kind of give us a big picture of how you formulate your team, is this something you think about, hey, this could happen at some point? You got to monitor around the league. You're always looking. Or is it something that just kind of happens because you see it and you pivot more suddenly, if that makes sense to you? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, we track guys. Our pro scouts do a great job. A great job of knowing their team. As I think I've told you before, we assign our pro scouts. They're the GM of a certain number of teams. They divide them up. They're, if whoever has the Jets, they're following every single thing that they're doing. And whoever has Tennessee this week, and they're going and advancing their game last week to help us, all the things they need to look for, signals, when they come out of the huddle, who's injured, who's going to be on their 48-man, we're tracking everything. So they're also tracking guys that as they're reading or they're following, hey, this guy's not getting playing time, this guy seems to be like the coaches are down on him, or there's various rumblings going on that he may be available. So those guys do a great job of bringing their names to the forefront for me. And sometimes I'll even walk in and say, hey, you may want to watch this guy. I'm hearing, or his agent called, and it kind of backs up what I've been reading. And I know you mentioned we need position X. So we're constantly tracking that, keeping a list of guys that what we say are potentially trade options. Now, again, it's got to fit within our cap, and is the team, do we think they're being reasonable with the draft pick compensation that they're asking for?
You mentioned it a couple times. What stood out, like, remembering back to when you met with him before the draft? Like,
yeah.
What stands out about that meeting? Like, what do you still remember from having that with him?
Yeah, we went to dinner the night before. So I went with Ricky Prohl, who's our receiver coach, and we went to dinner, and Ricky and I got back in the truck, and we were like, man, he didn't like us. But that's just who he is. He's just very quiet, very reserved. The restaurant was a little bit loud. And the next day, though, we pulled into Alabama's football offices, and there was a little gate. And sometimes you get here, and you show up to work them out or not, and the kids aren't there yet. They didn't tell you the right place to go on these big college campuses. Well, we pull right where he told us, and he waited right over there. He had something to open the gate for us, told us right where to park. I was like, this guy's a pro. We walk in, and we were talking at dinner the night before about some of the routes that he even run in practice but had not run in games. And we were like, can we see you run those routes? And so he had all this practice stuff. He beat us in there, had the film uploaded. We walk into one of their meeting rooms, and you give this guy the clicker, and he was like at peace, just talking to us like a coach. This is what I was doing here. This is what he's got. This is what he's got. This is why I did this. And we sat in there for over an hour, maybe hour 15. Ricky got up on the board, did some stuff, and, yep, we call that this. Ricky would say, yeah, we call that this. And just watching them talk ball was kind of cool for me to see. I was like, man, I'm sold. You know, we just didn't have the fourth pick in the draft that year. So,
why did it feel like now was the right time to make the move? And does it have anything to do with also assuring that he doesn't go somewhere else?
No, I mean, I really was looking for us. It was the timing. It takes two to tango, Matt, and the timing's got to work for the other team. The finances have to work as well. And again, you don't have to take it to the deadline. As Tim's question was earlier, like, you know, is this a harder position to get them up to speed? I would say yes. I would say it's got to be one of the harder ones. I would say harder than Rasul coming in here a year ago, learning the defense. I think you can make that a little bit simpler. There's less plays, but so again, I think the sooner I could get someone here, if it made sense, the better chance they're going to be able to help us down the stretch once we kind of get them up to speed.
Brandon, there's a report out there that you have a couple kickers in. Can you confirm that? And if so, why?
Yes, we do have some kickers. We're going to work them out this afternoon after practice. T. Bass would be the first to tell you it hasn't gone the way he would like it, and quite frankly, the way we like it. But the great thing about Tyler is we've had conversations with him. He's very aware. He knows we're working out people, and he understands it's a production business. And so, we have to make decisions, you know, what's best for the team. And we want nothing more than Tyler to be our guy. We signed him. He felt he had really earned the deal that we paid him, you know, an offseason ago. But it is a production business, and hopefully he knows he's got to make those kicks. I think Sean said that. No one's hiding from it. But at the same time, he hasn't done as well as he or we had hoped. So, you know, we've got to continue to look and monitor, you know, and if there's a better option that we have to turn to, then, you know, we'll do that.
Brandon Bean earlier today there on Tyler Bass. Most of the Q&A, of course, on Amari Cooper, who, yes, was the fourth overall pick. Good stuff from Bean looking back in the 2015 NFL draft by the Raiders. He'll wear number 18 for the Bills. This is not a number he's worn in the pros at any of his previous stops or at Alabama. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here at 803-0550. We'll look for your calls next on Cooper and the Bills season to date. Sal will join us at 5. This is WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.